Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Cybersecurity Amplified and Intensified. Usual hosts, Eric Taylor, myself, and Brian Weiss of iTech Solutions. Today, we have Matej Schmidt from Datto with us. Hey, Matej, how's it going?
Hey, guys. Yeah, it's going well. Good to see
you. So for those of us who don't have the benefit of knowing who you are, would you like to give us a little background on yourself and Datto?
Absolutely. So I'll start with myself. I am working as the director of product management for Datto RMM. So I'm responsible for roadmap and what we put out as a product. And I have been on the RMM journey for quite some time. I've been on this for over 15 years now, with a different RMM vendor. And then I joined Central Stage, the startup that eventually became Autotask Endpoint Management and now Datto RMM. Been a very interesting journey where we've been able to grow the team. But a lot of the people that were there at the start when Central Stage are still with us, core developers and a lot of the founding people. And it's been an amazing journey. And, so at Datto, of course, we do many different things. Most people might know us for business continuity, the backup, but of course we have one of the leading PSA products and the RMM product is doing fantastically well for us. So it's been really, really nice to be a part of this journey. And we have ambitious goals. We're investing quite a bit in product teams. We have an ambitious roadmap, but one of the things that we've been doing is, just making the product better every single month. We have been on this rolling cadence of just shipping product every single month and with the goal to make it better. And, that's what we're planning to do in the future as well. And as a product manager myself, one of the things that we'd like to do is stay externally focused. So talk to the MSP channel all the time to capture feedback. And we do it in product, we do it everywhere to make people tell us what we need to do to improve, because that's what it's all about in the end.
And before we get started, I mean, we want to just put out there just as a disclosure that myself, Shiva, and Brian all use Datto in some way, shape, or form. So those who are listening or watching, you know, while we do support Datto and their efforts, this is not going to, we will be asking Matej some hard questions. I'm sure, you know, it's not going to be, you know, it's going to be the same kind of content that you come to expect from, you know, us two idiots talking and, you know, trying to bring highlights and, you know, other things to us. So with that, I guess let's just get started. So we were talking a little bit before the show, Matej, that, you know, Dom Kirby, who works for PAX 8, has put out recently pretty much in a nutshell where you really should start looking at getting rid of your RMM and going with some sort of various solutions, whether it's, you know, Shiba was taking, the impression that this is be more of a push for Microsoft Workplace, that they're pushing through. I tend to agree with them. There's definitely some points in here that we'll definitely put in the show notes. But there was really one thing that really stuck out to me as I was skimming through this was, you know, when you are picking your vendor and you are trying to determine, all right, is these folks going to be on your side or are they going to potentially not care about security so much and become that RAT or remote access tool, like, you know, what Kaseya has done and some of the other RMM platforms and recent history has done, where you're essentially just weaponizing a third party malicious actor to leverage that system. What would you say about that, Matej?
Right. So I think you touched on a few talks. I believe, and I think many MSPs still believe that a managed device is better than an unmanaged device. Right. So if you don't have visibility of what you are responsible for, can't secure it, And you can't really respond to immediate things that you need to do. Let's take print nightmare recently. Like it as an MSP, you need to know where your servers are, what servers are vulnerable, and you'd like to respond to that immediate threat. Perhaps make configuration change at scale. For businesses to do that, they need something that helps them do that. And I believe that the RMM products that my MSPs buy today are designed to help them do that. That visibility, that scalability of their best practices and their responses. That is something that I believe is gonna perhaps be even more important today than it's ever been. Like, it's important to understand your patch level of everything that's out there. It's incredibly hard to do without proper tooling. But as you pointed out, it is essential to be really smart about that. And what I mean is you want to indeed pick a vendor and a product you trust. Like, you want to make sure that your vendor is someone that you can rely on, and they do all the right things, and they have the right processes in place, and they invest in building a product that is really secure. That is very hard to do. Like, we all know how complicated software is and how complicated security is. It's almost impossible to do that yourself, I believe. So even though you need that kind of technology, you have to ask yourself the question, is this something that, like, I still know MSPs that like to build their own management technology, but it's very similar to deciding to host your own technology and publishing it on the web. Like, is that something that you really want to spend your time in on and securing it that way? There are many, many other things that come in play here, but like, for one, and of course I'm an RMM guy, but clearly you need an RMM to keep your customers secure. And, you need to make some really good decisions on what vendor, where do I put it? How do I configure it? How do I secure it? Because there is still a responsibility that you have as an MSP. It is a very powerful tool set, whatever product you use. So you need to be smart about, like, security. Like, how do you configure it? How do you get access? What to what level? You touched on a few other things, but I believe that you are going to be more secure with an RMM in play.
You know, this brings up an interesting point here. Matteo, you and I met about a year ago, just a little over a year ago. I was using another RMM, and my client went through a pen test. Pen testers were able to get into that RMM, which was not Datto RMM, to be clear. And my sales guy got yourself and your counterpart Ian on a call within a couple days. And the level of comfort I had with your security mindset and your security posture had me purchase Datto RMM sight unseen. With that said, can you talk to us a little bit about how is Datto investing in the security of Datto RMM through your eyes as part of the team? And also, I don't know if this is something you can get into, but highlight the difference of being an RMM platform versus an RMM instance like some of the other players out there.
Sure. I think it starts with the organization, right? Before even talking about the product, I think Datto is a security company. We, a few years ago, took on a CISO as the first one in the space, Ryan Weeks. I think everybody knows him by now, but our CEO said, "Hey, Ryan, you built a mature, secure company, and you run your own security group." And because I think early on we saw how important that was for our partners, and that is a massive group that we have right now. So we have our own people that know about process, about like really good security practices. We have our own pen testers, and they help us across the board with all our products to elevate our game and to keep every single team focused on security. So on a global level, on a company level, I think we have some incredible people that help us stay on top of what matters here. But then within each product group, like the RMM group, we have security people embedded into all the teams and security processes around how we develop our product. So like when you look at how we produce our product, in our software development lifecycle, security is a part of that, like how design and engineering it and testing it is a part of like just everything that we do. There are multiple processes that we have implemented where, for example, a developer can't like make a change of product in the product like that, that there is a multi-layer approach here where someone can check in code, someone else approves it. Sometimes it's more people and that someone else deploys it and someone else can touch production environment. So it's a very mature way of thinking about how we deal with code. But I think, and this is one of the things that you touched on is this is not this product that we're talking about. It's not like, hey, we have this on-prem products with an IIS front end and a SQL backend, and let's host it somewhere in the cloud and let's call it a cloud solution. Now, this is something that was designed to be a cloud platform from day one. This is all kinds of microservices that all have their own area or task that they need to do, talking to other microservices. And that's what the platform is. And if some area like the monitoring engine where we process the alerts is busy, we can scale that up. We have load balancers in front of them. And if the UI needs more resource, we'll add more UI servers. And if the single area is down, if let's say one of our PSA integrations is down, there's no impact to other parts of the product. Like this is truly a scalable SaaS solution as how I think you're supposed to design it today. That means that from, like an architecture, like we contain, I'd say the blast radius of problems within certain compartments of the product. And then of course we have multiple regions, but the way it works is, like mostly there is no platform really to take over. There's no place where you can really insert like a piece of, like a Trojan or something because it doesn't work like that. But then on top of what all the things that we do, we have, like continuous monitoring, continuous security monitoring. We have, almost continuous penetration testing going on to just make sure we provide a reliable, trustworthy, secure platform to our partners. And that, like I said, like Datto has the resources to invest in those people, those processes and, penetration tests, et cetera. It's much harder to do that when you're a startup and you need to cut corners to get features out. For us, there is no bigger feature than security. It's probably right now, it's the one feature that matters. And everything else should be like tier two or tier three. It's security is tier one, but you can't, it's not a feature that you can build and say, okay, like this is the release where we're going to add security to the product. No, but you can take it into account with everything inside. So hopefully that answered your question there, Shiva.
Oh, it did. Thank you.
So when you're talking about security and we're talking about RMM, you know, I'm not sure if you're able to elaborate on this, but you know, Conti just had one of their operatives, you know, kind of go rogue and just completely publish their entire playbook of, you know, this is how we do things and this is how we get past Sophos, this is how we get past this and that and everything else. You know, here's all the tools and stuff like that. Has Datto, what is the timeline for Datto to take some of these ransomware or threat actor playbooks that may get put out there and, you know, maybe put something out there on a partner portal, you know, behind a wall or publicly facing to actually say, hey, we've analyzed this. These are the steps that we're going through of, you know, possibly mitigating. Monitoring and mitigating for these type of threats, things of that nature.
So our security team does analyze this, like the moment we see this, right? Like, and there have been examples of this in the past where we've learned about something, a certain threat or vulnerability, and have, with our security team, have decided, okay, let's help our partners and respond to this. And sometimes that is by deploying, like something in our map, like we have written multiple scanners for the Exchange proxy logon vulnerability. We had when the big FireEye set of tools was like stolen with the SolarWinds breach, we put out responses, and that was either like a component in RMM, a script, but also something we, for example, we published the scanner for that one on GitHub. So every other MSP could benefit. We've done that multiple times now where like our security team learns about something. We have a dialogue internally and we say, okay, what do we need to do? And we have this RMM product, but the capability is like capabilities are infinite. If you take into account our cone store and our components, right? So the engine for automation, but also the way we publish it to our partners. And what we've done, well, on a very regular basis, we publish things there every week, is just make these best practices available so you can just download it to your system. So I think what you were asking is there something you can do as far as documentation is concerned? Well, yes, but we'd like to generally take it one step further, which is we will help you get like the solution in place so you don't have to script it yourself. And like we have dedicated thinking about that all the time. There are other like security, like documents that we put out. There are a lot of like FAQs and other things that we do. We make them available on like our documentation site for one, but, generally we like to take it to the next step.
You brought up the app catalog and the comm store. Mm-hmm. And for those that are unaware what those are, that's the, in essence, a repository of scripts and applications you can deploy with DataORMM. And about a year ago, you and I had a conversation about requiring MFA for risky actions. It was more of a suggestion than a feature request or a promise to deliver. In light of the Kaseya breach last month, has anyone revisited that, where if I wanted to upload a new component, I would need to be challenged with another MFA push notification, say with Duo, because you guys are highly integrated with them, or some kind of additional authentication? And same thing for deploying across, you know, multiple devices, anything that we could deem risky.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Like, we have had many conversations about this. Also recently, of course, like how do we protect MSPs from either making mistakes or like someone like gaining access to their RMM or like abusing the RMM? And clearly the automation engine scripts are the most powerful thing to abuse. Like with MFA, like mandatory for everyone, we think we like, ideally we stop everybody at the gate, but if you have a rogue employee or someone like getting access to the system through like a stolen phone or something like that, they can still abuse the RMM. So how do you minimize that nest radius? One of the thoughts there is an additional layer of like authentication, like 2FA, doesn't really make it more secure. I mean, we will still probably do that, but more to prevent mistakes or big changes, to like tell people, hey, you're making a really big change here. Like, here's another 2FA challenge. But the assumption is if someone can get in, they can probably also like deal with the initial step up authentication, the initial 2FA. It's not really even step up because you're already at that like double authenticated level. So one of the things that we've been working on, and we will release later this year, we're like spoiler, but we're announcing this at DataCon later this year, but is the additional workflow, the approvals, where we're gonna make it much harder, we're gonna make it so that if you are making a risky change in RMM, you're gonna need someone else to approve that, and that includes, hey, I'm building a new component. Before you can actually use it on all your devices, someone else needs to approve it, and that like limits someone from doing something really scary, which is abuse the RMM. So that's, it's just one of the many things that we're working on, but we're definitely doing something in that area, and that's not too far out.
Well, one of the things that we recently did is we actually did a combination where we kind of focused on least privilege in that manner, where we created a dev role in RMM that has a separate login for any of our devs. And we gave that dev role, it's the only one with permissions to add components, and it can only see our test site. So if you log into a role where you can add a component, you can't even see all of our client machines. All you can see is a test site to be able to test the component out. And that helped me sleep better at night, knowing that I've got least privilege in where the accounts that my guys use on a day-to-day basis can't do this. But I do believe there definitely needs to be a level of change control added, where when certain changes are happening that could be detrimental, whether it's a threat actor or, you know, willful misconduct, with an employee, a rogue employee, you've got some sort of secondary approval to keep eyes on that. So yeah, the re-auth in, you know, first thought is like, yeah, I want to re-auth, but you're right. I mean, anytime you get past certain layers of security, and part of that is initial auths, especially with MFA, doing a re-auth is assuming that they're not going to be able to re-auth, but how did they get in the first place, right? Maybe they gained access to the desktop. Maybe it's an employee who does have access granted. So it's always nice to have a second pair of eyes verifying that something's legit.
Well, let's also not, you know, let's not overlook the possibility of being able to steal, two auth tokens. With a man in the middle attack. Yeah, I do it all the time with penetration codes or penetration tests, where we are, you know, able to steal that two auth when you try to log into Microsoft 365. And as long as we're able, if we're watching that API, those API calls, we can log into. So being able to steal that original 2FA code is not that big of a deal to go to. The other side of the equation is LockBit and some of the other threat actors now are essentially asking for insider threats to compromise a network. So being able to enforce a second layer of protection authorization to get something done is more of a mission critical. I'm not sure how some of the smaller groups will do it unless, you know, the owner of the company is only an authentication method, and the general technicians, if you will be the person who will invoke the change request to add from the comm store or whatever. But if you have like a one man band, it may be a little hard. They just need to be a little bit more careful of what they're doing, but it's going to be interesting to see how some of that stuff really does play out.
You know, speaking of insider threats, we can't talk about that without discussing ransomware. And one of the newer features that I think was launched by DataRMM was the ransomware monitor. Is that something you want to get into a little bit, Matei?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a very exciting feature, and it's also an important one. We see it as like an important line of like detecting when something is wrong. So, a lot of effort gets spent on preventing issues, right? Like you do patching, you have antivirus, you do third-party patching and configured system in a correct way, but still, you know, this stuff gets in, stuff gets through, and then the inevitable outcome is ransomware. And what we built with one of our teams is an engine that detects the outcome of ransomware, which is files get encrypted. And we do this in real time, and we will be able to, like, with like certainty, like 100% is still in IT is always a scary number to name, but it's very close to 100% certainty that you have ransomware, and we are able, like the RMM agent is able to detect it, tell you, first of all, like through a ticket in Autotask or some other means that like your customer has ransomware. So you're not waiting for them to tell you and like give you a phone call. So it starts with that. So you can respond quicker. You can potentially, limit the exposure to other devices or other things. But of course, we also have automated actions. So you can automatically isolate the device from the network, which is really, really cool. And we make it so that device can't access any other resource on the net other than RMM. So you can still remote control into it, but a potential attacker that has gained access to the device is now locked out. Other command and control servers don't work anymore. So we can't use it as a foothold into the network. It's a very powerful feature. And then also we do kill the ransomware while it is trying to encrypt, mostly saves a ton of files, right? Like we still need certain files to be encrypted to detect the ransomware, but we will help you save a ton of files and lock out the potential attacker. So, that's that feature.
So the one thing I want to push back on is kind of where, you know, the friendly asshole of me comes out to some degree is the report that was put out probably about 2 months ago, where a quote unquote security firm went through and did some testing of the ransomware module and, you know, gave it glorious reviews. And, you know, as a pen tester, I got a hold of it and I can say from my experience, it's not so great. You know, even the report said that there was 30 variants of ransomware that it was able to detect. I was able to throw 4 or 5 different ones on there, created support tickets and everything. And though it doesn't seem like it's, I think it's still a work in progress. The main thing that really rubs me the wrong way with the Datto RMM is the inability to have any sort of tamper prevention turned on the agent itself. So, you know, if you take the Conti playbook and some of the tools they're talking about how to kill system level applications that don't have tamper persistence on, the Datto is not going to stop you by any means. So yeah. You know, is there something in your pipeline? Have you evaluated that? And is there something in your pipeline where you're going to actually start looking at trying to implement those safeguards on this RMM platform?
Good points. So let me touch on the first few things that you said. We had, I think, one of the most respected security tool testing companies out there, MRG, Ethitas, run analysis on this product before we actually launched it. We actually said, okay, let's determine if this is any good before we decide to push it out to the market. And the conclusion was, yeah, it's actually like works. It's great. It's not perfect, but we used that and we had that information and we made that available before we launched it. But then in the last couple of months, we deployed it over a million devices, and that gives us ton of fantastic data. Like we are seeing ransomware activity across the world, and we also get reports where we missed something. So when I say it's 100% accurate, that is when we tell you, you have ransomware, you have certainly ransomware. We look at certain activity on the device. And we analyze like, hey, is this ransomware? Like there's, automated stuff that you do on a device. I don't know. Let's say you encrypt or you automatically change images from one size to another, right? Or you use Photoshop to automate that. In many ways that is very similar to how ransomware behaves on an endpoint, but we need to make sure that we don't flag that as a ransomware activity and isolate your device or kill Photoshop, right? So we make sure that there are no false positives like that. But then on the other end, we have taken like the most common ransomware versions out there and said, okay, what happens? And let's make sure it works against them. And, but also this is a never ending cycle, like ransomware changes all the time, and we're learning and we are changing our engine as we detect new ways of how people mess up your system. We've made a number of tweaks in the last couple of months. I'm sure there are new strains out there that we're going to add, but the way it works is we're not looking at a certain signature, say, oh, this is a ransomware, like strain and like having to keep up with them like an antivirus engine. No, we look at the outcome. So, anyway, it's not like an pre-release or any progress version. No, but it is like ongoing learning and ongoing development. We have people on this product. We have like just a team working on things like this. Like this is ongoing for us and it's important. The other thing that you touched on is this tamper protection. And this has been it wasn't asked before ransomware detection, because people with admin rights were able to remove an RMM agent from an endpoint. People did that, right? Like they go into the control panel and remove their RMM agent. And you can hide it from there, but people with admin credentials have a way of installing applications. It's trivial to do that, especially if you really don't want your RMM agent on your PC. So we have been working on a number of things to make that harder, to remove like an RMM agent or to kill it. There are ways of like how that works today already. So if you try to kill the RMM like bit that does ransomware detection, it will relaunch automatically. But then like there are also ways around that. It is of course almost impossible to stop someone that has full system privileges on your endpoint to make them not kill this. And that's what we see with anything, but we believe that like it's another layer of protection. Fortunately, like this is still early days, I'd say for this ransomware detection technology, that most attackers are not even considering that RMM ransomware detection. So they are not killing it, but rest assured, we are taking steps to make it harder for people to do that.
You know, one of the things, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that I'd like to see this Datto RMM ransomware detector do is really monitor the Datto RMM folder. Because when Eric tested a strain of ransomware against the monitor, that strain cryptoed or encrypted the Datto RMM process of files. And that effectively stopped it in its tracks. And based on my conversations with Ian, one of your colleagues, and this was a few months ago, well, that folder was not being monitored. And there's also a certain number of files that we don't need to get into publicly that need to be changed to trigger the monitor. Has there been any change to the monitor to look after that folder?
And I think that it's not 100% correct. So let me, the monitor, does check every single bit of the hard drive until you exclude it. It's the possible to say, hey, don't check this disk or that folder. However, I think the problem that you're pointing at is if we corrupt the RMM agent and or the ransomware agent through encrypting all the files that it needs, yes, that will effectively be the same as killing the agent, and it will be able to trigger the next step. What we also see is that, like, even though some ransomware out there tries to encrypt every file on the disk, that's mostly not in their intent, like what they want to do, because that doesn't allow the user to see the ransomware node and operate their machine and do the payment, right? So, but it's true. If you corrupt the RMM folder, or like everything that we need, it will right now not be able to kill or undert. That is true. What other thing that I wanted to touch on is with RMM, we really don't want any exclusions, right? Like this was a Reddit thread some time ago after the Kaseya breach. Like certain products out there, they require exclusions in your antivirus OS. Like don't scan me and just like trust me. That's not what we need with DenoArm. Like you can like scan it with antivirus. You can like, you don't need any exclusions. And it's actually the case that if you ever decide to deploy ransomware with an RMM component, a script, and we see that like ransomware detection detects that that is causing encryption to happen, it will actually kill the RMM agent. So it's almost like protecting like the RMM agent itself against doing something horrible.
That is pretty cool. I guess one question that I have for you, it's more of a feature request that I'm putting you out in the public. So hopefully you can get it rolled out by later today.
Sure. Yeah.
When you guys isolate, you only allow the agent to call home to the Dano RMM ecosystem. One thing I would like is for me to set a couple URLs that can access the computer. And a use case would be, let's say you are post ransomware incident and you need to do some IR. Maybe I want CrowdStrike or the CrowdStrike agent to get into the machine or communicate with the endpoint. I know Sentinel One does that. They allow you to choose a few services that can connect to an isolated device. Is that something you guys have assessed or plan on including later on?
It's, I think, the first time that I heard about it, but perhaps someone in the team has.
I'm special.
It's a great idea, and I'll definitely bring it to the team. I can't promise on a delivery later today, but it's
fine tomorrow.
Yeah, no, it's something. It's a good idea. I think the question is, like, do you have all the IPs and URLs that you want to allow, or like, do you want it to be simpler and like allow CrowdStrike or allow this or allow that?
I'd like it simple, because if you give me too many options, I promise you I'll mess it up. So maybe you guys work with the popular AV vendors and say, hey, what do we need to allow list or what have you, so that post incident we can communicate with your servers or what have you. And speaking of whitelisting, since I've been on Datto, I have not had to whitelist anything, but I'm going to trigger Eric here, because I know when he's moving from Bitdefender to CrowdStrike, and Bitdefender EDR loves bringing up alerts that Datto RMM is using the command prompt to launch PowerShell, and he wants signed PowerShell. So I'll let him take over there.
Thanks. I'll take it from here. But yeah, this is definitely something that I've been harping on, because any EDR with its salt, and even, you know, with CrowdStrike, we're getting a lot of pushback because the EDR will actually block RMM from executing. The Datto agent will invoke the command prompt that then invokes PowerShell through a commandlet for a randomly generated PS1 file that is self-signed or whatever. So if I go in and say, all right, nobody is allowed to run unsigned PowerShell at all, it completely breaks RMM.
Yeah.
Like nothing works. So I don't know what the fix would be, because if I go and start adding my certificate, my wildcard certificate to PowerShell, it's only going to work for the ones that I generate, and those who are in the Datto EcoCenter will know that when you're running RMM and you want to pull site or account variables or anything like that, you're not going to be able to pass that when you are deploying a PS1 or a module, because there's nothing to pass through. So is there anything on the roadmap of Datto creating maybe even their own scripting engine, kind of like, you know, as much as I want to throw up in my mouth when I say this, but like LabTech Automate has their own native scripting engine, things like that, that can help get around some of these things. Is that anything that you guys have, you know, been taking to heart that I've been beating the drum on for about a year now?
So let me start with the last thing you said. No, we're not building our own scripting language, which I think is not a great use of resource for us. And it creates like a new attack vector, right? Because you're effectively building something that like any interpreter has like a lot of weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we know that most of the people that use Datto RMM, most MSPs, they have smart power users that know PowerShell. They prefer to use PowerShell versus like a graphical scripter. Doesn't really make them more productive. And of course we try to cater to the people that don't have that knowledge by including the console store and a lot of the fantastic scripts for free. On your previous point is, do we consider adding some form of additional protection there, where you can potentially sign your own scripts in RMM, and we sign our own scripts? Yes, absolutely. That is what we're planning to do. So the end goal here is that you would be able to configure your endpoints in a certain way that you only allow signed scripts to run, and Datto RMM will still work. We don't want to automatically blanket sign everything, because we don't think that makes it necessarily better from a security perspective. And but it's definitely something we're planning to do. There are ways around it. Clearly, we've seen this in the field, where even endpoints that have this policy terminal, only allow signed scripts to run, attackers can go around it, but it's still another thing, a good hygiene thing to do. It's just another lock to put on your bicycle, right? It's another good thing to do, and it's definitely up there with some of the other security things that we're adding.
So I'll just push back on that, because if you just go in and say, okay, only run encrypted or assigned certificates, unless you are removing the backward compatibility of PowerShell 2.0 and you're not enforcing only assigned, you can't do, execution bypass commandlet where it will, tank your script from running, then yes, you'll be able to get around it. It's not just, hey, let me just set up this thing and then, we're good to go. But there's more steps to do. It's just like with anything with Windows, right? So, just because you have PowerShell doesn't mean PowerShell logging is turned on, right? And just because you have PowerShell logging turned on doesn't mean it's very verbose. So, there's always those extra layers you got to put in place to make it work the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, it's an ongoing conversation, and perhaps we want to set some time aside in the future to dive into it a bit more. Ultimately something that's going to need to happen.
One of the challenges I see in our industry is, and this kind of gets back to the ransomware detection and even some of the stuff Eric just drilled into, the average MSP out there isn't caring about the things that Eric cares about, right? They just want to support their clients. I mean, if you look historically at the MSP industry, we've chosen convenience over security. And so, you know, you take that mentality along with being told by vendors that, hey, we're going to protect you against ransomware or our product's safe. And they take it. I mean, they don't even add a grain of salt to it. They're just like, all right, I'm secure. And then what they don't realize, you know, they don't know what they don't know. And then something happens. And now all of a sudden, you know, the vendor is a supply chain attack vector, right? Like we recently saw earlier this year. And so I think it's imperative that, you know, we're careful on, you know, anything to do with security, that we're not over promising and under delivering, because it's very easy to make that sale when you're doing that and then not making people aware of, hey, there's also best practices that go along with this product, right? And I think, you know, believe it or not, Microsoft, even though they're enterprise focused, is doing a good job where they've got a security center and it's telling you, hey, you're using our product. It's got all this security in it, but if you don't set it up to best practice, it's, you know, it's actually more of a threat vector than it is securing yourself. So, you know, I'd really love to see vendors like Datto, you know, and I know you guys are already working on this, but come more to the forefront of understanding that, hey, your tools, while they offer a lot of convenience and make our lives easier, they also, it's a double-edged sword. And if they're not configured correctly, or if you've, you know, the push for the MFA was a big one that Datto was one of the first to do. But again, it doesn't just stop with MFA. People shouldn't be just sleeping at night, okay, now that I have MFA enabled. That's a battle I've seen, is that, you know, it takes an MSP who's been through an emotional event to understand the importance of security. And so some of them aren't even listening out there or even following best practices. So it's a challenge for the vendor. But at the same time, I cringe when I see vendors over promising and giving MSPs that feel good sleep at night feeling when really they don't have it. Right. So what does Datto plan to kind of implement kind of what Microsoft has across all their products, where you log into your portal, you know, say it's Datto Cirrus, right? And it's flagging you saying, hey, these devices have local login enabled, right? You should disable this. Are there any plans for something like that?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of areas where this is really important, right? And I think what you're touching on is MSP hygiene. Like, is my RMM configured correctly? Perhaps I have more admins than I need. Perhaps, like, everybody is a full admin. We see that. Perhaps we have 5 people with API access enabled. Perhaps that's not what you need. Perhaps there are no other, like, restrictions. Perhaps you don't have agent sandbox internal. There are a couple of things that we have in the system, that are just really good to turn on. Perhaps they make, like, to add an additional step, like perhaps you need to approve something right now. And then as part of our security best practices and the documentation that we put out, and we say, hey, you need to do this. It's part of the implementation process, but still people, sometimes need to be encouraged or reminded, because everybody has more stuff on their plates, than just managing an RMM, right? No, nobody's thinking about RMM 24/7. Perhaps people like myself here, but, the RMM hygiene is one part, but also the second part is endpoints, configuration, right? The endpoints is in a certain state where it is perhaps not in the most secure state, might have, like, patching is a good example. Like, you have a patch compliant state, perhaps it's not compliant, but there are a lot of things that you could be doing or perhaps should be doing that are best practice. And I think in both of those areas, RMM has a role to play. We need to to make it easier for you to do the right thing and to help you do the right thing for your customers. And it shouldn't necessarily in that case have to be like trading off between security and convenience. You can make applying best practices more convenient. And like, yeah.
So you made a mention a while back that I'll kind of loop into our current conversation where, you know, your ransomware module is sending some telemetry back for your team to analyze. Is it Datto's plan, and I'm hoping you're saying yes, where you are starting to pull telemetry to of some degree around your partners and partner endpoints that will show, hey, these are our 10 riskiest partners, and start to really sit down with them like, look, you need to clean up your house like immediately, or something needs to happen, right? So, because that's going to be a risk to you guys as well. You know, if you have, you know, partners who are not taking the due diligence of securing their own house, you know, one partner gets hit with ransomware because they weren't secure, you know, Datto's got a bad, you know, expectation on them, right? So,
well, I mean, if an MSP gets hacked because of not using 2FA, this was a few years ago, it makes us look bad, right? So the same thing is like with bad like password, like hygiene, right? Like we are checking credentials against known like password lists, for example. Like that's something, because we take responsibility for the platform. But to your point, like if the MSP has an attack like that, it's our problem as well. People like, and then both the MSP looks at us as well as the rest of the market. So we're doing everything in our power to prevent things like that.
Are you getting to a point where you may eventually terminate a partnership because of potential malice from an existing partner?
We might. Yeah.
Damn, I love you guys.
I have a question here. One of the things you and I had a conversation about, Matei, when you were kind enough to listen to me babble before I moved over, you said, or maybe it was Ian, that Datto RMM only allows level 0 or level 1 type data to be read by Datto employees, or that's the only thing that you guys can see. Everything else is relatively zero knowledge. Is that a fair recollection of that conversation?
We have a lot of rules around what people can do internally. Absolutely. So we look at this all the time. What can people see? But it starts with, I think, support access, which is a key part of the story. Our support people can't log into anyone's account unless you go at this or should.
Sorry. No, where I'm going with this is, you have a classification level of what type of data can be seen without that support access. And I think it's either level 0 type or level 1. Is that correct?
It could be. I'm not 100% clear on
there's that. one level type of data that you guys can see without support access. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, none of our support people can, they can look you up in the CRM system.
Not or them, but just the data that you collect, because your competitors, they data mine everything. You guys don't to a degree.
No.
Right. And the reason I asked this is because a little while ago you said that you're seeing telemetry data from the ransomware monitor. So is that telemetry data outside of that limited access you once had to the type of data you can collect?
No, I think this is different kind of data. So this is, it's still all anonymized, but we look at the alerts that we're seeing, and we look for certain patterns, like and that is telemetry that those like few engineers can access to improve the detection engine. Only in situations where someone tells us, hey, you've missed something, we make our MSP send all the data that we need to add something, if that's the case, because our engineers don't have access to that level of data. So it's only the like specific unders, like some metadata around it.
And is that specific to the ransomware monitor or all monitors?
That's only ransomware.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted some clarification on that, because one of the things that I would like to evangelize is a more of a zero knowledge posture with my vendors, where they know as little as possible. And that was one of the things I really appreciated about Data RMM, was the fact that it was very minimal data that you guys collected. But I also do want to be mindful of your time. So is there anything you'd like to close out with?
I mean, this has been a great conversation, and it is part like of a conversation that we're having on a daily basis. Like, it's all about security. I think you guys are pointing at all the important parts already. One of the things that you touched on is not everybody's thinking like you do. Like as an MSP, security should be on top of mind. It's the one thing you should be thinking about more than anything else. So like re-listen to like some of the questions that Eric and Shiva and Brian have asked here, because, and ask yourself, hey, are we doing everything we can? Are we like, are all the things that we're running on these endpoints necessary? Are we, what is our posture towards vendor management? Look at all this stuff and outsource if you don't want to do it yourself, because one of the problems that we see is that MSPs, they assume certain responsibility for certain things, and they actually never put in the efforts to make something more secure. And it's not like you don't have to be a pen tester yourself, but at least if you implement a tool, take the responsibility of configuring it properly and maintaining it. Anyway, it's on top of mind for everyone, I believe, in the industry. And this is not about one vendor versus the others, because this is all about the MSP space in general. Like if Kaseya MSPs get hacked, it makes all the MSPs look bad, right?
No, so, just them. Trust me, Kaseya is bad. It just makes them look bad. I have no love for Kaseya. I say this with peace and love.
Hey, Matei, I want to get back to kind of one of the earlier things I was touching on, and that I feel like the biggest challenge in our industry is just, you know, lack of focus on security. And I think part of it is the fact that small businesses desperately need our services. And if we aren't telling them, hey, we're not going to sell you our services unless you have a certain level of security, we're enabling those small businesses to go without the security they need. And we're focusing more on convenience and making money, right? Versus reducing risk, which takes away convenience and costs more money. So what I'm really hoping to see vendors do, you know, I agree it shouldn't be a competition of security, particularly between vendors, but I do think that, yeah, I mean, if I'm an MSP who's spending the time caring about security, doing the right thing, I want to be able to stand out against my competitors. And I'd really like to see vendors like Datto even go to the point of offering, you know, you mentioned earlier, hey, if you've got an MSP that's just doing it the wrong way and is a potential huge threat vector that could make Datto look bad, we might consider firing them, right? Well, what about promoting elevation by, you know, almost, I don't know if you want to certify or give some sort of badge, but it's like, hey, this MSP uses our products. They're following all the best practices. We've verified, we've confirmed this. Obviously it's a revisit thing, right? You're doing it maybe yearly because you could be great one day, one year and not the other. But a way for me to say, yeah, I work with Datto, and guess what? They consider me their top 10% of MSPs doing it the right way. You know, and it kind of goes along with your academy, your training too. It's kind of that whole piece, right? Has Datto thought about anything like that? Because I think until you help differentiate your partners from, you know, the good actors from the lazy actors, this problem's going to continue to happen, right? Or, you know, it's going to continue to happen no matter what, but maybe we can help mitigate some of it.
Yeah. We'll kind of cut that one off on Brian, just cause we are, like Shiva said, we do want to be respectful for Matei's time, but we'll definitely bring this up, cause we did kind of touch on this, that, you know, Matei and the team are looking at you know, some of the telemetry coming back and starting to have some of that conversations. And I think our next conversation, we can definitely have Matej go a lot deeper into that. But again, I know Matej has been very generous with his time. I definitely want to let him go and say thank you so much for coming on today. It's been a real pleasure being able to be able to talk with you and really having a real open and frank conversation that we have a really hard time with vendors mostly coming on and, you know, willing to take our criticism and, you know, being able to answer this stuff. So thank you for that.
My pleasure.
And with that, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Cybersecurity Amplified and Intensified. Please, if you have not, go to amplifiedandintensified.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and give us a review. Let us know how we're doing or how poor we're doing. If you're on the social media, please share this with somebody that you think will be benefit. And we'll see you on the next one. Thank you so much.